Thank you for tuning into the Walk in Truth Radio Network broadcast. Grab your Bible, get settled, and let's walk through the Word of God together. Let us now reason together and listen to see what God is saying to us today.
Father, come right now. I thank you, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. Motivate us, God. Keep us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we're in Jeremiah 27. And before we start reading that, I would like to go to Ezekiel chapter 7. The notes say one thing, but that is not where I want to read. Okay. Give me one second. We're going to Ezekiel though.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to go to Ezekiel 3. Going to start at okay, Holy Spirit, get me where I want to go, because this is not where I want to be, and everywhere I think I want to go, it's not where I'm going. Hold on one second. So we were talking about, remember last week we were talking about, we were talking about Jeremiah and how Jeremiah was getting persecuted by the people, right? Almost on, not almost, but exactly on trial. And now we're going to talk about his meeting with, the title says the meeting with the ambassadors, but I wanted to really talk about some imagery that was similar to Ezekiel. And this one is going to talk about, and I'm trying to get us to where we need to be, about the yoke. So Stacy, can you remind us what, if your recollection when we were in Ezekiel, about the yoke of that we learned about in Ezekiel. Remember anything about it?
No, I cannot remember.
Okay, so let me go. For some reason, this keeps saying Ezekiel 7 and 23, but I do not see it where I'm trying to go. In Ezekiel, we learned about how the yoke is what they put on around, it's a contraption that they put around the bull to guide the animal to go where it wants to go.
Right. Yeah.
And so I know for a fact that Ezekiel had to do the same thing. The reference in the commentary says Ezekiel 7 and 23. And I'm going to go ahead and read it, but that's not the imagery that I really wanted. It says, forward a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. And that is something similar to what Ezekiel had to do during his time, Jeremiah is going to have to do the same, to have that vision of the yoke. Now, we know that Ezekiel, where Jeremiah had to do a lot of words and some imagery, most of the time, Ezekiel had to actually act out his God's words for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Ezekiel 34:27 says, the trees will yield the fruit and the ground will yield its crops, and the people will secure in the land, and they will know that I am Lord. And when I break the bars of their yoke and rescue them from the hands who enslave them. So in order for the bull or whoever to be free, the yoke has to be broken. The bands have to be broken. So I want to give you that imagery.
Yeah.
So let's go to Jeremiah 27. Sorry it took me a little while to get there, but I knew that I wanted to basically talk about the yoke and its implications on the people. Yeah. So because what does Jesus say about the yoke?
The yoke is easy.
And his burden is light. If he says, so let's go directly to that. Anybody can guess where that is? In the Bible, when God says, my yoke is easy. Let's go to Matthew 11. We remember things, but we need to know where they at. So we're going to go there. 11:28. Come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and 30 says my yoke is easy and my burden is light again. I don't know why, but it is. Okay. And so it's repeated. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So usually the yoke is tight, right? And so X says, now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? So that gives us a more illusion of what God is speaking about in that scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Acts 15:28 says, for it seems good to the Holy Spirit to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements. It is a burden for these animals to plow because they got this thing on their neck and they pushing them to do so, right?
Right.
So a yoke is a burden from a sort.
Yeah.
A yoke is something around your neck that is forcing you to be under bondage. Everybody gets that illusion. Okay. So let's go back to Jeremiah 27. And so you guys can kind of understand this, because it's called a message to the ambassadors. Also the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit of information. In the King James Version, Jeremiah 27:1 says, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, that is a scriber's error. Most versions have corrected the error. It should read, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Okay, everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's not under Jehoiakim, it's under Zedekiah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thus the Lord said to me, make yourself straps and yoke bars and put them around your neck. Now, let's go to Leviticus Let's go to Leviticus 26 and 13. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt that you should not be their slaves. And I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you walk erect. So that gives us even more imagery of what occurred, right?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody with me? And Ezekiel 34 and 27 again says, and the trees of the field shall yield the fruit, and the earth shall yield its incense, and they shall secure the in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the land, the hand of those who enslave them. Okay, so the yoke is important. Let's go back to Jeremiah and see that you see this is a repeated thing. Everybody's with me, right? This is a repeated thing about God breaking the yoke, breaking the bondage upon you, okay? Mm-hmm. Send the word to the kings of Edom, the kings of Moab, the kings of Ammonai, and the kings of Tyre, and the kings of Sidon. All of these are what nations?
Pagan.
Yeah, Gentile pagan nations. By the hands of the envoys who come to Jerusalem and to Zedekiah, the king of Judah. So not only are we, usually we're not them, but Israel is not lumped with the Gentile countries. Now the yoke is on all of them. So Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, Sidon, and now Judah. Six kingdoms are all going to have a yoke put on them by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? Mm-hmm. Give them this charge for their masters. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Okay? The God of Israel, that this is what shall say to your masters. Now, you know I talk about this all the time. God gives us, if you do this, I'll do this. But if I do this, if you do this, I'm going to do this. He always gives you a choice. Give them this charge for their masters. Thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, and this is what you shall say to your masters. It is I who by great power and my outstretched arm have made the earth with men and animals that are on the earth, and I will give to them whatever seems right to me. Okay? So he says, I'm giving the power to Nebuchadnezzar to do whatever. You got a question?
No, she
did. Okay. Now, I'm in verse 6. Now I've given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I have given him also the beasts of the fields to serve him. All of the nations shall serve him, and his son and his grandson, until the time of his own land comes. These many nations have great kings shall make him their slave. Then many nations and great kings shall make him their slaves. Now, we know this is true. Because we have studied what book to know that this actually occurred?
Daniel.
Don't second guess yourself because you was right. It was Daniel. So kudos, because you know the word, and I don't want you to second guess yourself, because Daniel absolutely talks about all of this happening. Okay, so when we go to chapter 2 of Daniel, and we're going to go to Daniel 2, 37 through 38, and Sister Vera, read that. Go over to New Ezekiel. It's right after Ezekiel. And it's three books after Jeremiah.
Okay. You
see
it, James chapter 2.
Uh-huh.
And what verse?
37 through 38.
You, O King, the King of Kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power and the might and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, making the rules over them all, you are the head of gold.
Now, we know that this is Daniel talking about interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, but it validates what Jeremiah just said to the people, that Nebuchadnezzar was going to get the power over all of these people and the beast mm-hmm. of the land. Mm-hmm. Let's go to chapter 5 in Daniel. King Belshazzar, number one, made a great feast for the thousands of the lords and drank wine in front of the thousands. Okay, verse 3. We'll keep on reading to verse 3 and we'll see that Belshazzar tasted the wine, commanded that the vessels of gold and silver of Nebuchadnezzar his father had taken out of the temple of Jerusalem being brought, and the king and his lords and his wives and his concubines might drink for them. They brought into the golden vessels that they have taken out of the temple of the house of God in Jerusalem, and the kings and the lords and his wives and the concubines drank from it. They drank and praised the gods of gold and silver and iron. And immediately the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king palace opposite of the lampstand, and the king saw that his hands was written on it. Okay, so now we know he became alarmed, blah, blah, blah. And then now David comes and interprets it, right? Let's go down to Daniel 13. And you can read this story. Daniel goes and interprets it and says, this is what's going to happen. He tells them that y'all about to fall, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the exact verse. Let's see. 13.
Book 13, right?
Chapter 5, verse 13. Daniel 5 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Verse
13.
The writing on the wall.
The writing on the wall. 5 and 29 says, after he gives an interpretation, Belshazzar, which is Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, gave the command, and Daniel was clothed in a purple chain of gold and was put around his neck, and a proclamation that made him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, the king, the Chaldean king, was what? Killed. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom from being 62 years old. So that showed that what Jeremiah said way back then, that God said, actually happened. Mm-hmm. Everybody with me? Mm-hmm. So, because Daniel put his other hand right on the wall, because y'all drinking from something y'all shouldn't have been drinking from. He gave them the interpretation, just like he gave Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar's grandson is the one who died and lost the kingdom. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 27. I'm going to reread what I just said so you can connect it. Jeremiah 27 and 7 says, all the nations shall serve him and his son and his grandson until the time of his own land comes. Then the many nations and the great kings shall make him their slaves. And that's what happened. Now, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a slave, but he's saying that his descendants, his grandson is going to, his kingdom is going to be enslaved. Everybody with me? Okay, so verse 8. And before I move on, any questions?
It's 27:8.
Jeremiah 27:8. But if any nation or kingdom that will not serve this Nebuchadnezzar, kings of Babylon. Okay, so Jeremiah is giving them the yokes, right? He's supposed to give all these six people the yokes, right? Mm-hmm. He says Nebuchadnezzar has all the power, right? Of everybody and the beast. He's giving him to him, right? But, remember I said, God always give him the if causes, right? If any nation don't serve him, right? Mm-hmm. And put this, any nation will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and it puts its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, I will punish that nation with sword, with famine, with pestilence, declares the Lord, until I have consumed it by his hand. Mm. So do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your fortune tellers, or your sorcerers who are saying to you, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. Mm. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you, with the result that you will be removed far from your land, and I will draw you out, and you will perish. Now, caveat. The five Gentile lands, if they don't serve Nebuchadnezzar, are going to be driven out of their land, and they're going to perish. And I'm gonna continue the sentence after I read 11. But any nation that will bring its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will leave its own land to work on it and dwell there, declares the Lord. The caveat is, Judah, that doesn't apply to Judah. Because Judah's going to have to go. We already know they're going to, because they did not observe the Sabbaths of the land. And because of their actions, they're going into bondage anyway. But the other five have a choice. You can serve Nebuchadnezzar and stay on your land and keep your property and do whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you can perish. Everybody get me? Mm-hmm. But it applies to everybody except Judah. Because Judah has a debt to pay.
Yes.
Okay? Yes. To Zedekiah the king. Now, you say, well, Venus, how you know that? Because the sentence says it. It says the nations. And then the next sentence in 27 and 12 says, to Zedekiah the king of Judah, I spoke in the matter. Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. It didn't say y'all get to keep y'all land. Y'all need to say, oh, I'm going to be under your leadership and I'm going to live. I'm still going to go in bondage because we already know y'all going in bondage anyway. But y'all going to live. Okay, the bondage for these Israelites, and we're going to learn, is different from the bondage that the slaves, people in slavery had during the centuries of our time. They actually got to farm and live and be productive. They were not slaves as we see slaves. Okay, because we just learned in Jeremiah that God had already told them that when you go into bondage, He's putting the remnant in the bondage, not the ones. Remember, we talked about the bad figs and the good figs. So the bad figs are not going into bondage. The good figs are going into bondage.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You don't remember us talking about the figs last week?
I remember.
Remember we talked about the figs last week?
Yes.
We talked about the Daniel, God said, hey, look at these bad figs and the good figs. And we were all like, well, in our minds, the bad figs would be the ones that go into captivity.
Right, right,
but that's
figs,
not the one.
But
the bad figs are going to die.
Right.
The good figs are going to captivity. Are you back on where we at now?
I think I am.
Okay. So he gave a separate thing to Zedekiah. Y'all need to submit and live.
Right.
So 13 says, why will you and your people die by the sword, by famine and pestilence, as the Lord has spoken concerning any nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? So Jeremiah like, look, just submit. Why do you want to die? Do not listen, verse 14, to the words of the prophets who are saying to you, you shall not serve the kings of Babylon, for it is a lie that they are prophesying to you. I have not sent them, declares the Lord, but they are prophesying falsely in my name, with the result that I will drive you out and you will perish, and you and the prophets are prophesying to you. Then I spoke to the priests and to the people, saying, thus says the Lord, do not listen to the words of your prophets who are prophesying to you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will not surely be I'm sorry, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house will not surely be brought back from Babylon, for it's a lie that they are prophesying to you. So there, he was telling them, this is going to be desolate. They're going to take our stuff. They saying, no, none of this stuff is going to happen. Do not listen to them. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should this city become desolate? If they are prophets, and if their word and the word of the Lord is with them, then let them intercede with the Lord of hosts, that the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem, may not go to Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, the seas, and the stands, and the rest of the vessels, they are left in the city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, did not take when he took the exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, Jehoiada, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, and all the nobles of Jerusalem. So let's just talk about this a little bit. Let's slow down, because 20 and 19 are confusing. So let's go to get some context. Let's go to 2 Kings, chapter 24. And Stacey, you see all of this is connecting because we read all of this, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 12 reads, can you read that, Stacey?
2 Kings 24:12.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It should say that name.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It should say that name.
Okay.
Because the reason why it was wrong, because if you go back, let's go back so you can see what I'm saying.
Okay.
Let's go back to Jeremiah.
Okay.
So you can get clear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Zedekiah is not the son. Zedekiah is the son of Jehoiakim. Okay, so the reason why it is number one is incorrect, because if you go to verse three,
mm-hmm.
verse three says Zedekiah.
Mm-hmm. Verse three, yeah.
So number one, it's an error because Jehoiakim and Zedekiah can't be kings at the same time.
You're saying verse 3
is
the same?
Verse 1 and 3.
Okay.
If you go in the Old Testament,
okay, gotcha.
I mean in the King James Version, it says Jehoiakim.
Okay.
Well, how is it that in verse 1 we talk to Jehoiakim, and then in verse 3 now we tell and saying, and Zedekiah, the king of Judah. Both of them can't be the king at the same time.
Gotcha.
Well,
he's the son.
Okay. No, and he's not the son. He's actually the uncle, because he's the puppet king. He's going to be a puppet king. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. But either way, that's the reason why it's wrong.
Okay.
So now you clear up now?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go back to 2 Kings 24. Stop me when you have a question so we can really examine it and everybody be on the same page. We're not rushing through the word. So
that 12.
Yeah. So go ahead, Stacey.
And Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, gave himself up to the king of Babylon, himself and his mother and his servants and his officials and his palace officials. The king of Babylon took him prisoner in the 8th year of his reign and carried off all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold in the temple of the Lord, which Solomon, king of Israel, had made as the Lord had foretold.
Keep on.
He carried away all Jerusalem and all the officials and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives and all the craftsmen and the smith. None remained except the poorest people of the land. And he carried away Jehoiakim to Babylon, the king's mother, the king's wives, his officials, and the chief men of the land. He took into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon.
Okay, so we're going to read verse 24 and 17 just for you, so you can understand what happened. Read that to Stacey. And the king of Babylon, 27.
And the king of Babylon brought captive to Babylon all the men of valor, 7,000 of
them. No, 24 and 17. 2 Kings 24 and 17.
And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, Jehoiakim's uncle, king in his place and changed his name to Zedekiah.
Wow. Now you see what I'm saying. Because that was his uncle. Zedekiah is his uncle. Mm. I ain't say. I know one thing. If I don't know something, we read the whole book of Kings and the whole book of Chronicles. I might get some of their names, mispronounce their names, but I know the history. He's a puppet king because Nebuchadnezzar made him the king. He shouldn't have been the king because he's the uncle, right? Mm-hmm. It should have been the next kid, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. All right. So let's go to 2 Chronicles. And I wasn't trying to be haughty when I said that. I was just making that we've learned about that already. So 2 Chronicles 36 and 5. Through 7. You want to read that space for me?
Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. Against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in chains to take him to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar also carried part of the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in his palace in Babylon.
Go ahead and finish it up.
Now the rest of the acts of Jehoiakim and the abominations that he did and what was found against him, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. And Jehoiakim, his son, reigned in his place.
Okay, and let's go to Matthew 1. That was 2 Chronicles 36, 5 through 7. And what you will find is most of the time when there's something in Kings, you can go to Chronicles and get a deeper story about it. Because a lot of times Kings just telling you what happened. Chronicles give you more detail. I kind of like Chronicles more because it give you the tea. Remember, Stacey? Mm-hmm. We'll read something in Kings. We be like, what? And go on Chronicles and it'll fill you in. Okay.
What did you say go to next?
Matthew. Read 11 and 12, Stacey.
Matthew 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm. 1, 11 and 12.
Oh, 1, 11 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? Chapter?
Matthew? Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Verse 11 and 12.
Okay.
Matthew. In Matthew. The first book of the New Testament.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel.
Okay, so that's just giving you some history, some background. So let's go back to Jeremiah 27. And I believe we read verse 20. Now you understand when it says that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, did not take away, which he took into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon and Jehoiachin and all of that. He's saying, if he's lying, he didn't do any of these things. He did those things. We just heard how he cut up the pillars and he took the gold, right? Thus says the Lord, this is 21 of hosts, God of Israel, concerning the vessels that are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem. They shall not be carried to Babylon and remain there until the day when I visit them, declares the Lord. Then I will bring them back and restore them to his place. So they're going to be carried to Babylon. We know that's going to be carried to Babylon. How do we know they're going to be carried to Babylon? Because we just read down here what people got in trouble from drinking from the vessels that they weren't supposed to be drinking from, and their handwriting was on the wall.
Right.
So Jeremiah is saying to these false prophets, if these false prophets are saying this stuff is not going to be taken away and y'all not going to be captured, they are lying.
Right.
We know that Jeremiah is not lying, because we know it actually occurred. But if y'all want to believe what y'all want to believe, go ahead and believe what you want to believe, but y'all going to be in captivity. And understand, this is not going to be nice. So either let God take this yoke and you go into captivity and say, oh, I'm going to do this. Or you're going to suffer the consequences. Okay? Go ahead.
You know, the things that happened in Daniel, and then you go back to Jeremiah. And
Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. He was reading the collections of what happenings in Jeremiah. He even says it in the book of Daniel that he was reading Jeremiah. So he knew in the book of Jeremiah, he knew when he read that he was already in captivity, and when he read Jeremiah, he knew what was going to happen coming forward. Okay. So Daniel knew this was going to happen because he read the scrolls. Okay? All right? So I think I answered your question, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I was there.
All right. Anybody got a question before we go to 28? So when I say that he gives you an if clause, he gave them an if clause. If you do this, I will do that. If you don't do this, I'm going to do that. So he gave the five nations that we named, hey, submit to Nebuchadnezzar, and you get to stay where you want to stay.
Just doesn't seem as positive at first. And like when they're tricking them, saying this won't happen, but it will. So it's like versus going into captivity or keeping yourself and thinking you're going to have to live. It seems like the captivity.
It's two different groups he's talking to. The five groups that I was talking about, the pagan and Gentile, Jeremiah is telling those nations, Nebuchadnezzar is going to overtake you. You can stay in your land if you submit to him. He didn't have to give him that warning. But the people of Israel, the people of Judah, really, really basically says is he's giving them another opportunity to repent and also giving them opportunity to live. They're not going to, and it makes sense because I'm not judging them. If somebody say, well, either I surrender to you or I fight you and I'm going to live, why would I do that? I'm a king, especially since I got history. When anybody that came up against my nation, God has thwarted them from defeating us. Why would I believe you from this point? Now, Jeremiah was telling the truth, but in your carnal mind, why would I believe you? However, Jeremiah, we learned last week, wasn't the only one telling y'all, because Odoo got killed and head got cut off because he was saying the same thing that Jeremiah was saying. And so therefore, y'all heard this more than one time. So everybody ain't crazy, but everybody ain't lying. So all these people saying, oh no, this is not going to happen, it's not going to happen. It is going to happen. And it happened. And then they're probably like, well, he did say, what? Why would this man risk his life to tell y'all the truth if it's not going to happen?
Especially if somebody got killed already for someone saying it.
But in reality, when someone is, if somebody like Jeremiah was telling us this stuff now, we would say, y'all, you need to go put him with Malcolm Bliss.
He crazy.
Because he crazy. What are you talking about? Our God is prosperity. We're going to have houses and lands. We don't want to hear that negativity. Right. And you're going to tell the United States that we got to surrender to somebody? Who are you talking to? I can understand why Israel didn't take heed, but I also understand that there was a word coming forth, and there was, and I'm a little scary, so I might have listened to Jeremiah and said, well, what I got to lose? But if I'm the king or the queen, and I'm the head person in charge, I'm not listening to you because I already know what my past says. God gonna protect me, even if I'm evil. Because it was a delayed punishment. They had an opportunity to repent, and they had some good kings in there. But every time them kings died, they went back to their own way. Yes, ma'am.
You're saying Nebuchadnezzar, you have a choice to go under Nebuchadnezzar, under bondage,
Mm-hmm. But that bondage is not the bondage that we're thinking about.
But, you know, all of my memory of Nebuchadnezzar, he wasn't so great.
Correct.
He
However,
the he never to the three
Nebuchadnezzar
Israel boys.
Correct. Nebuchadnezzar did not, number one, we studied Daniel. He put them in there because the laws are set up, mm-hmm. whatever law you put in, you can't reverse. He had to put them in there because the people lied. Just like he put Daniel in the lion's den, he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. Whatever law they put into place, they cannot reverse.
Gotcha.
So therefore, even though he was not as a nice person when he was an adversary, he didn't want to do that to Daniel. And he was happy that Daniel lived and the Hebrew boys. However, right. He was convinced by somebody else that they were doing something. He made a law that he couldn't overturn. The same thing happened with Ruth. Right. Even after that king found out that the man tricked him, he couldn't say they had to figure out another way to save his wife because he had already made that edict.
Right.
Whenever a king makes those edicts, the back then they could not overturn the law even if they found out they made a mistake.
Right.
So Nebuchadnezzar was ruthless. However, if you read the book of Daniel chapter 4, and if you read what they in Jeremiah, did God use Nebuchadnezzar for his instrument to punish Israel and the other nations? So even though two things can be the same. He can be a ruthless person, but he also can be used by God. And it states that he was God's, we just read in Daniel where Daniel even said that God gave him that authority. Okay? So two things can be. If I am not in compliance with God's word, he would have been a ruthless adversary for me.
Was Nebuchadnezzar the one that lived like an animal for 7 years?
Correct. Because he got haughty. No.
That was still before that.
No. What happened was God used them to put the people, could use Nebuchadnezzar as a method to put the Israelites in bondage and do the things that he needed to do. Nebuchadnezzar, if you read the book of Daniel, became haughty. And if you read chapter 4, which is the letter that Nebuchadnezzar wrote, you find out that he thought he got the big head and felt like he was above God. And God brought him down. And when he came to himself, he wrote the book declaring that God is the God of gods.
Right.
And during that time where he came, when he was down below, Daniel was taking care of him. And he came and revealed that God can still, God can put you in a position of authority, but you cannot think that you are higher than God. And God put him in his place.
Well, he wanted to be, he thought he was the creator of heaven.
Correct.
All goodness,
but at the end of the day, he came after he was put in that position. Because Daniel had gave him that warning, he came to himself, and that's what the letter of in Daniel chapter 4, which was written by Nebuchadnezzar, states and talks about what happened to him and how he is now telling the people that God is the God of hosts. God is the God who delivered him, and God is supreme.
Right.
So when you read the chapter 4 of Daniel, you will see that even though he did go crazy, he went crazy for a purpose because he forgot that it wasn't him that was placed there. It was God who placed him there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Everybody on the same page with me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So he came to himself. Okay? So now we're in chapter 28. And we're talking about this continual theme of false prophets. Okay? And now, I want you to listen to this. In the same year, at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, we talked about how he became king. He's the uncle, right? In the fifth month of the fourth year, Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet from Gideon, spoke to me in the house of the Lord in the presence of priests and all the people, saying, now, who was he speaking to? Jeremiah. And he's speaking to Jeremiah and the priests of the people. Now Zedekiah is the king, and the real king is in captivity, mm-hmm. and all the princesses. So Daniel and them are all in captivity. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, at this time.
At this time.
Okay.
Because remember, this is the first siege that has already occurred.
Right.
Daniel and all, remember Daniel was part of the elite, so he's over there. He's a kid though.
Yeah.
Okay. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Okay? This is the false prophet talking. This is what he said that God said.
Oh.
Everybody understand now?
Right.
This is Hananiah saying that the thus says the Lord of hosts, God and told me to give y'all word. God has broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So that means that this yoke that Jeremiah was saying is gone from us. Within 2 years, I will bring back to this palace all the vessels of the Lord's house which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried to Babylon. And I will bring back into his place Jehoiachin, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, and all the exiles from Judah, and went to Babylon, declares the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to the place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Now, y'all know that Jeremiah was being facetious. he was like, okay, whatever. Mind you, Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. That's what his name means. Okay? So then... He said, yet hear now, this is the word I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. And it's for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent this prophet. So now Jeremiah is saying, okay, we know that whoever prophesies in God's name, if you're a true prophet, is going to come to pass.
So what did he just say that made you think that you know he was kidding before amen, before verse 6?
Because he know what God told him. Jeremiah cannot speak anything that is not of God, because God is using him. He can't, even if he don't want to speak it, he has to speak it. He know for a fact that God told him something totally different. And that Hananiah is a false prophet.
Gotcha. Okay. With you.
Deuteronomy 18 and 21 says, and if you say in your heart, how may we know that the word of the Lord has been so spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, then the word that the Lord has spoken, the prophet has spoken presumptuously, and you need to be afraid of him. Mm. Okay. So Jeremiah knew that if he's speaking the word of the Lord and it don't come to pass, you need to know that God's going to get him and God's going to get you. But let's see what happens to the man.
So in other words, Jeremiah was agreeing with him, saying like, oh, I hope you're right.
No, he wasn't agreeing with him. He was being condescending.
Oh, okay.
Because Jeremiah been preaching all this time that the end is coming. He know what God told him, so he just being condescending to this man.
Okay.
Everybody understand, he not really agreeing with him. He being condescending.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, man, say what you're going to say. We'll see who's telling the truth.
Right.
Okay. And then the prophet, this is verse 10, 28 and 10, Hananiah took the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah and broke them. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people, thus says the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within 2 years. But Jeremiah the prophet went his way. Sometime after the prophet Hananiah had broke the yoke bars from the neck of Jeremiah, the prophet, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Say, go tell Hananiah, thus said the Lord, you have broken wooden bars, but you have made in their place bars of iron. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I will put on the neck of all the nations an iron yoke to serve Nebuchadnezzar, kings of Babylon, and they shall serve him, for I have given to him even the beasts of the field. And Jeremiah prophet said to Hananiah, listen, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made the people trust in your lies. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have uttered rebellion against the Lord. Now, we started this conversation in the fourth year and the fifth month, right? Mm-hmm. In the same year, in the seventh month, 2 months later, the prophet Hananiah died. So you said 2 years this is going to happen. You died in 2 months because you know you was a lie and the truth wasn't in you. Jeremiah said, okay, you want to break these chains? You have just made it worse because you got these people believing I said this. I didn't say this. And none of the stuff that this man said was going to happen came in. He said in 2 years. That stuff didn't come back in 70 years.
It didn't come back in 70.
The vessels came back 70 years later, which was the word that Jeremiah gave. It didn't come back in 2 years. And they still had to submit in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And the yoke wasn't broken until the 70 years was done, which Nebuchadnezzar wasn't alive when it happened. Mm-hmm. But either way, the prophecy that this man gave was not prophecy from the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I read Deuteronomy to say, be careful. So Jeremiah said, okay, you want to play these games in front of these people? I'm going to come and tell you what God said. Jeremiah didn't kill him. That man died because he lied on God. You can't say God told you anything if God didn't tell you anything.
And you gotta know that it's God.
And you gotta go spread the word. But people he made up stuff because people were in fear and scared. And they're used to people giving positive prophecies instead of what Jeremiah and what Ezekiel is gonna be saying in a couple of minutes. They didn't want to hear it. What a man in the book, he died telling them this was going to happen. They didn't want to hear that because they remember what happened in Hezekiah's time where where the pronouncement was given and Hezekiah turned from himself and it kept them from being in bondage then. They still forgot that their sisters and brothers in Israel have been dispersed because of their evil doings. They had all the writings on the wall even before Daniel read the writings on the wall. So the first seeds has already happened. How you going to tell them this man coming back? Jeremiah told you this was going to happen, and it happened. So now, y'all listen to him if you want to. The man gave a prophecy, and now he's dead. So that, you get what I'm saying now? It's the man is dead because God didn't tell him nothing.
He lied on God.
Thus said the Lord. He didn't say, well, I had a dream and God told me. I mean, I had a dream and this is what the dream said. That's a difference to saying. I mean, it's a whole difference. It's the context. He said, I would have said I had a dream. I think this is going to happen. He didn't say that. He said, thus said the Lord.
And when you say that thus, that means you lied.
You lied on God.
That means that you said something.
That wasn't ordained for you to say.
But didn't all the kings do this?
That wasn't the king that did that. That was a priest.
The priest that wanted to fight.
That was a prophet, a priest, a person you're supposed to listen to these people for the word of God. His name, what did I just say his name meant? That Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh has been gracious. He is supposed to be a prophet. He's a false prophet. Prophets are supposed to give the words of the Lord. So these people I can understand why they would want to believe him and not what Jeremiah is saying, because Jeremiah is saying, you're going to be under this yoke. You're going to be in captivity. Yes, our stuff is going to be brought back. No, the boy didn't never come. He didn't come back. He never came back. We know that. The king never came back. He lived there. Remember we read last week. He sat at the table for the rest of his life. He never came back to the land of Jerusalem. Never. So all the stuff the man said was a lie.
So Hananiah, that's the one whose name that you just gave dominion of?
Yeah. Huh?
The name that you just gave dominion of, what was that?
Hananiah. That was Hananiah's name. Yahweh is gracious.
Yahweh is gracious. Okay, thank you.
Okay? So you can't be giving prophecy. God, and he said it. Jeremiah said, he even just got through saying, y'all gonna get some prophecies that are lies. Don't believe them. And they were false. And he was false. Okay? Yep.
It's amazing how we still have people that are going around here saying they're prophets. And it's amazing that, you know, they would go and say that and be just glorified. Mm-hmm. But it's something that tells you that if you haven't heard this prophecy from God yourself, how can somebody else tell you what God has said when he haven't told you first?
Well, first of all, there isn't, because we have this relationship with Christ.
Right.
There's nothing, if I have a relationship with somebody, okay, let's take it out of that context. If I'm not married to my husband, right? Why would somebody else tell me something that my husband's supposed to do? Why wouldn't my husband tell me? So God, we are the what? The bridegroom, right? God is our husband, right? Jesus is our husband, right? So why would I have to go somewhere? Why would somebody else have to tell me what's going on in my house? That's my analogy. If God's going to do something or tell me something, he's going to tell me. The Holy Spirit, all in one, the Trinity, are going to tell me. He don't have to tell you anything about me.
Especially now since he has the New Testament.
Right. There's nothing you can tell me.
Right.
So you prophesy to me because you can see my desires. So I got prophesied that I was going to marry another lawyer and have multiple children. I didn't marry another lawyer. I married my husband. He's not a lawyer. And I have one child. I don't know where these other multiple children gonna come.
I don't know where their profit came from.
And because you automatically thought, because I'm an attorney, that I wanted to marry an attorney. I didn't want to marry an attorney. I wanted to marry the guy who God sent me. Now, I don't know if I'm gonna have multiple children. I would hope that at this age, God decides that he's not going to do it. But if he does so, that's thus says the Lord. I'm thankful for the baby I have now.
Yes.
However, God told me to follow him. And I asked God not to allow me to make a husband and a child an idol any longer in my life. And when I did that, that is when God released my husband and my child to me. And so I didn't need somebody to tell me, because you knew what I did for a living, what God was going to send me. I didn't bank on that, because you can't tell me what God's going to do for me, because God's going to talk to me if I have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
However, I can say this. If you tell somebody that if you don't get your life right, mm-hmm. and you don't submit to God, mm-hmm. That's not, God ain't got to tell you that.
Right.
That's something that you should, that's the word. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, I don't need a prophet to tell me anything. I should be able to go to the Father. And he intercedes on my behalf to talk to him and say, Jesus, hey, what is the issue concerning it? And he will reveal it to me in the time he wants it revealed.
In his time.
And so, therefore, what I'm saying is, I am not saying if you call yourself a prophet, that's your business. All I'm saying is that you don't have to prophesy anything to me, because I have a relationship with the Father.
Right. Amen. Now, I was just amazed that there's plenty of people going around saying that they are a prophetess and stuff.
But you're paying for it, so why get it free? Why pay for it, you get it free? God don't charge you.
Well, I don't know about nobody who told
us. Those are people that are in that other ring.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But anyway, Heavenly Father, I come right now, God. I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your revelation. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you. I ask you to protect us and keep us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Walk in Truth Christian Fellowship Church broadcast on the WITRN Network. Come join us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for Sunday worship. Bible study is held on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are located at 3006 North Lindbergh Boulevard, Suite 711, St. Louis, Missouri, 63074. All are welcome, and we look forward to seeing you soon.